events, memberships, education, or just to get to know us, check it out and like us on Facebook too.
And Beth, what was that website?
RacineZoo.org.
This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
And a very pleasant good morning, and welcome to this edition of Education Matters. I'm your host today, Steve Brown. In today's program, I have two guests, and this is a rebroadcast from 2024. My guests today are Colonel Rose Hunt, and she is the new National Executive Officer of the Civil Air Patrol. When I interviewed her this past year, she was the Great Lakes Regional Commander for the Civil Air Patrol. In segment two is my guest, Captain Elizabeth Barkman, and she is Commander of the Lake in the Hills, Illinois Civil Air Patrol Squadron. I'm very pleased to welcome as my guest this morning in segment one, today's program, Great Lakes Region Commander Rose Hunt of the Civil Air Patrol. Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. You know, one of the things I always like to start out with, besides a whole list of questions that I have, is for you to maybe just tell our audience who Rose Hunt is, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I hail from the great state of Wisconsin. I was born and raised in Chippewa Falls. I now live just over the border in Hebron, Illinois, with my husband. And I joined Civil Air Patrol 26-plus years ago when my son became a cadet in the program, and it did a great deal for him and building his future, and so I continue to give here at Civil Air Patrol.
You have been quoted many, many times with regards to your two-word philosophy, and that is people first. I know that sounds very simple, but why is that so important to you, and how did you come up with that particular philosophy?
Well, leaders may be born, but it takes professional growth, I believe, to impact others. My leadership style has always been one of inspiration, transformation, and evolution. And taking what I've learned from great leaders and what I've learned from the not-so-great, my leadership philosophy is summed up by two words, people first. A good leader must first set a good example and live up to our core values of Civil Air Patrol, both in and outside of the office. By practicing servant leadership and caring for our members while holding them accountable to the high professional standards set by Civil Air Patrol's core values, I've learned that they will take care of each other and the organization. And we must provide a culture of diversity and inclusion to grow leaders from all walks of life. The cost of this is zero, but the rewards are infinite. The future of our region and Civil Air Patrol rests on the shoulders of our future leaders. And it is our job to grow these leaders. Breaking down barriers at all levels is essential. There shouldn't be any roadblocks. Instead, we have guardrails of Civil Air Patrol's core values, strategic vision, regulations, keeping us moving forward. And we must establish open and accessible communication between wing commanders, staff, and members so each one feels valued. And that's what taking care of your humans is all about.
You know, as you were saying that, you know, I'm thinking this program is airing on Saturday the 18th, but just in a few weeks, actually on December 1st, will be the official 82nd anniversary of the Civil Air Patrol. It was actually created originally back in the 1930s, but officially less than a week before the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. As you think about the Civil Air Patrol and your role as region commander, why is it so important for us to remember not only how it started and when, but why it is so important today in 2023?
Civil Air Patrol, we're proud of our great history, and they have led us, all of our prior volunteers have led us to where we are today. Creating a youth program, an aerospace program, and an emergency service program gives us a plethora of opportunities for volunteers to share their talents and skills across all of the United States and overseas. We have some overseas squadrons also. It is imperative that we continue as an organization to help foster the leadership skills and core values and character development, not just of our cadets, but also our senior members, and contributing around our communities, states, and nations.
So you mentioned the three CAP missions: emergency services, aerospace, education, and cadet programs. Maybe if you could just talk briefly about why those three are so important, and how we can educate adult volunteers and those cadets to carry out those missions.
That's a big question for a short span of time, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
Well, to start with, senior members have five levels of training through our volunteer university. This training is online, in person, or virtual in residence, and it gives our members a better understanding of our missions and core values, and provides essential training on leadership styles and techniques to help all of our members become better leaders, not just in Civil Air Patrol, but in work and in their communities. Our cadet program is for kids 12 to 21. The cadets have 16 levels of training, which encompass customs and courtesies, rule and ceremonies, physical fitness, character development, and aerospace education. Our emergency services program has a very wide berth. We have homeland security, search and rescue, disaster relief, cybersecurity, it's just the list goes on. And we put our training to work in the emergency services training missions, which can be small as a single unit or our entire region, or even national training events in conjunction with the Air Force. Our aerospace education arm, Civil Air Patrol, has an internal and external AE program. The internal program focuses on teaching all of our cadets and senior members using accredited curriculum, STEM kits, and subject matter experts. The external program provides an accredited curriculum and a variety of STEM kits to teachers in our communities who join our aerospace education program as an AE member for a one-time fee of $35. Educating volunteers and teens to carry out missions, I think of as training, inwardly focused. We have all manners of training for duty positions, specialty tracks, value, proficiency flying, leadership, and fitness training, etc., to make the CAP mission ready. But from an education outreach perspective, our AE programming begins educating with kindergarten to 12 aerospace and chem STEM education, and includes more than 40 educational products aligned to national academic standards that range from hands-on activity books for the youngest learners to a 600-plus-page high school, college textbooks.
As you were saying all that, I think I had mentioned to you in a previous email that I'm an elected member of a local school board here in Western Kenosha County. And when I look at the overall mission, the emergency services, the aerospace education, the incredible STEM kits, by the way, which I've taken a look at, and the cadet programs, what can be done to get more students involved with regards to how do they get that message out there in terms of school boards being aware of it, school administrators? Obviously, there's a wonderful website, the Civil Air Patrol website. But what can we do to get the word out there, and not just the word, but get the message out there of the importance of the Civil Air Patrol and why it's such an important activity for young people?
I, again, appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today and to help carry our message. We are a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization, and so our funding doesn't allow for large marketing campaigns like maybe some other type of volunteer organizations. So helping us to carry our message out to the school boards, our teachers help with that, being invited to teacher events and seminars would be a very helpful thing. Mm-hmm. And the more we're able to be out on this type of radio program, Education Matters, it gives us the platform to help people understand what we have available for them.
As you look at your role as region commander, the six wings, six states, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, and Ohio. Maybe if you could talk, how many planes, adults, cadet volunteers, and anyone else you want to throw into the into that mix, if you will, are under your command as region commander?
As the region commander of the 65,730 volunteers across Civil Air Patrol, we have approximately 6,500 members and are growing at a steady rate. We have over 3,100 cadets, which are the folks that are 12 to 21 years old. And we have over 3,300 adults. And we also have 254 legislative members in Great Lakes region. We have over 1,200 aerospace education members, which are the teachers that partake in Civil Air Patrol, and we have 53 aircraft, many vehicles, laptops, communication gears, and real property that we care for. And in Civil Air Patrol, resources and fundings are very limited and precious commodities, and therefore it's my responsibility to the Air Force, Civil Air Patrol, Congress, taxpayers, and our members to be a good steward of these commodities.
Why is it that it seems like many people are not aware that the Civil Air Patrol is part of the Air Force Auxiliary? I was an Air Force ROTC, so I was very, very much aware of the CAP, and that was in Florida. And so why is it that even though it's on the website, why do you think people just don't realize that the CAP, the Civil Air Patrol, is part of the Air Force Auxiliary?
Well, it used to be said, which breaks my heart, that Civil Air Patrol is the best-kept secret, and we are working diligently to educate and get our message out to through the Air Force, through CAP, USAF, and all of our other partners to help to promote Civil Air Patrol. We've recently been added to the Air Force webpage as one of their volunteer opportunities, which just happened in the last couple of months. And so we're just continuing to grow those relationships and build those relationships out in our communities and on bases. And, you know, we work with not only the Air Force, but all branches of the military, and they are very hospitable, allowing us to use their bases. And it's truly an honor to work with all of our military branches.
You know, as an aside, in reading more about your own history, I read that you went from being a waitress to head a whole chain of restaurants. If I could ask this very personal question, what is it about your character, the character of Rose Hunt, that has created such a success story?
Well, Rose Hunt was a very shy person growing up. I am number 5 of 16 children, and our parents instilled in us the values of hard work, honesty, humility, and helping others. It was never really about success to me, but instead just working hard and doing the right things while caring for my staff and my children. It has always been important to me to continue to grow as a person. Being the most shy person in my graduating class in high school, it is hard to look back and remember that person sometimes, because through my career in the restaurant business and hospitality, being sitting on state boards, working on a governor's task force, being a leader in Civil Air Patrol, and being able to interact with members of Congress and 4 or 5-star generals, it has really just helped me to broaden my horizons and give back to my community and state and nation, and also help grow my family.
Mm-hmm. In reading more about your own history, I read what Brigadier General Regina A. had to say about you, and she's the Brigadier General at the national level. And one of the things that General A. said was, and these are her words, "If I had to choose one aspect of her character," meaning you, Colonel Hunt, "that has impressed me most, it is her ability to persevere when faced with challenges. She has overcome every barrier to success that life has thrown at her and kept a positive attitude." As you listen to that, and as you read it, and as you've heard her say to you, what does all that mean to you as you look at trying to translate that into your own thoughts? Maybe if you could express what that means to you.
It's very humbling to me that someone I respect and admire so much, Brigadier General Regina A., feels that way about me. But life, I think, is about persevering. I spent 9 months in a wheelchair due to an illness, and it was a very difficult time, not just physically, but mentally. And I had to persevere, and when I met with my rheumatologist in the first part of 2000, she told me that stress and anxiety are the two main accelerators of my disease. And I learned at that point then to stay positive and be a positive person, because I have great faith. And the faith instilled by my parents and through our education, we all went to all years in Catholic high school, that faith has really helped me to focus on future, family, and the importance of just being a kind human being versus getting caught up in drama or things I cannot change.
One of the things I always like to ask my guests here on Education Matters, as you look back at your own formal education, was there a teacher in elementary school or middle school or high school? You said you were in the Catholic Archdiocese system. A teacher, a priest, was there someone that would be at the top of your list of his or her impact on you as a person and as an adult in particular?
Oh, gosh, there were so many. I was truly blessed by having a plethora of amazing teachers. You know, a couple that weren't so amazing, you learn lessons from them also. But Mr. Raisler from my high school, Ms. Fry, she was our PT teacher, and she was also my coach. Oh, Mr. McDermott, there are just so many. When you ask that question, all of their faces and the impact just flood back to my memories.
Which high school was that, by the way?
I went to, for elementary school, grade school, I went to St. Charles Borromeo Catholic School in Chippewa Falls, and then I went to McDonald Central High School, and that's where I spent my 4 years being formed to be an adult.
Sure. You know, is it hard to stay in touch with cadets with regards to your role as region commander? I mean, how do you interact with cadets today?
Honestly, the cadets are my passion. My son, who left Civil Air Patrol 24 plus years ago because he went into the Air Force and since retired, he asks me, Mom, why do you still do it? You know, I'm grown up. It's because Civil Air Patrol made an impact on my son. And it continues to make an impact on me every single day as I watch our cadets grow and their professionalism, their enthusiasm. We have a cadet advisory committee at every echelon where they bring the cadet voice to us and help us work on projects and provide impact, because one-third of Civil Air Patrol, almost half our membership, our cadets, and we need to take care of them. We need to listen to them. We need to be relevant in today's society. And we have a Jan X Mark Smith Innovation Prize, and each year there's a first, second, and third place on the national level. And last year, one of our cadets won first place, and that was pretty cool to me. Mm-hmm. Cadets can do anything. You just have to listen and learn.
Sure. And again, another quote from you, if you've made them feel important and valued, they will do great work. You need to help them understand the why. Always start with the why. And this is an obvious follow-up question to that, or not a follow-up, but a question is, why is that so important, based on what I just read?
It is so important because people need to understand the why. People need to feel valued and understand the vision to create a buy-in. Members are attracted to an organization celebrating respect, dignity, value, excellence, and success. Me as a commander, I must live the culture and provide a safe, inclusive, fun place to volunteer while ensuring the corporation and CAP and the Air Force are also being served. I always say to people, take care of your humans, because we need to remember that every person is a human being with skills, feelings, differences, and struggles. And in my opinion, very humble opinion, it takes much less energy to be kind to others.
If you have the opportunity to talk directly, which you actually are doing right now through this program, but to parents out there who, you know, obviously always have a great deal of interest in what their children do. I'm a parent. My son lives in Arizona. He was not in the military, but he did think about ROTC, but decided not to. But as you talk to parents, and you're doing that right now, if you had to come up with some comments to them about why joining the Civil Air Patrol is something that would be very valuable to her or him, what would you say to those parents?
I could say I wish I knew about Civil Air Patrol when I was growing up, because I was a very shy person. And I watch cadets, male and female, come in at no matter what the age, whether it's 12 or 17, they come in and sometimes they're very shy. And watching them grow as humans is just, it is just so motivational and inspiring to me. People also have a misconception that Civil Air Patrol, because we kind of look like the Air Force because we're the auxiliary, that we are grooming for all children to go into the military, and that's not correct. We're helping children to grow to be better leaders, better people, learning how to, you know, our core values of respect, service, excellence, and integrity. Those core values we need to expand across all of humankind so we are treating people with the respect that they deserve and the dignity that they deserve. And that, I think, is the biggest bonus of Civil Air Patrol in helping our youth to understand what it really takes to grow to be a inspirational and kind person in our world today.
Colonel Rosehun, I want to thank you so much for being my guest this morning here on Education Matters, and I will make sure that on the WGTD website, when this program is archived, that I'll put the link to the Civil Air Patrol as well as the Great Lakes region. And I want to thank you so much for your time, and not just your time today, but all that you do for our nation, for our students, for our parents. And again, thank you so much.
My pleasure. May I just add one quick thing?
Absolutely.
If you are a teacher out there in the science, education, technology, math fields, and you're interested in becoming an aerospace education member, please reach out to us on our website. You can get to the Great Lakes region. You can get to my email. It's rhunt@cap.nhu.gov. And we are willing to help pay for that part of that, or all of the $35 fee, because we know that teachers are not necessarily an overpaid salary position.
Okay, very good. In fact, you beat me to the punch. I always like to ask, which I didn't, and I'm glad that you made that comment. Is there anything I should have asked? And that's great. Again, Colonel Rosehun, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And now in segment two, my interview with Captain Elizabeth Barkman, who is captain of a squadron down in Lake in the Hills, Illinois. Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for having me.
Of course. First of all, one of the things I always like to do at the beginning of any interview, regardless of who the interviewee is to have you just tell us something about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, and then we'll go from there.
All right. I grew up in Capron, Illinois, not too far from the Wisconsin border. I attended high school at North Boone, and I went to college at Lewis University in Romeoville. During that time, I was a cadet in the Civil Air Patrol at Rockford Composite Squadron. A couple years after college, I returned to Civil Air Patrol as a senior member and adult leader, and I've become the squadron commander and the activity director for the Space Force Operations Academy in Florida.
Okay. One of the things I was going to ask you, and this is a good lead-in, what was it that got your interest initially with the Civil Air Patrol when you joined as a cadet?
I've always had an interest in aviation. I started flying in smaller aircraft when I was 5 at the local airport, which was Poplar Grove at the time. So I've always had the interest. It was never presented to me as an option or a hobby. None of my parents were in aviation, neither of them were. So it just kept me connected. I also enjoyed the physical aspect of CAP, the leadership aspect of CAP, and that foundation to build on.
After college, after going to college at Lewis, when you rejoined, or I guess you stayed within the CAP, and after college you became a senior member and then later an officer. What do you see as the big difference between being a cadet and being either senior member, which I am in my Civil Air Patrol squadron? What's the biggest difference that you see between being a cadet and being either an officer or a senior member?
I think the joke that most people say is the paperwork. You do not see the paperwork that goes into making things happen as a cadet member. Everything that the cadets get to do, the senior members make happen in one way or another. And you don't see that as a cadet. You come to the meetings, you participate in the activities or the encampments or the events. You don't see what's behind the scenes. There's also a lot of training that our senior members go through to ensure that all senior members have a equal understanding of their expectations within the organization.
The three primary areas of focus within the Civil Air Patrol: emergency services, cadet training, and aerospace education. You mentioned at the outset about the Space Academy. If you could tell us a bit about the Space Force Operations Academy in general terms, and then let's talk specifically about your involvement and your cadets.
My involvement particularly is the activity director. This will be my second year. Previous years, I was a staff member and deputy director. The cadets, about 27 of them, come from all over the country, but the goal is exposure to space launch operations, different career opportunities within the U.S. Space Force, the U.S. Air Force, NASA, and the private contractors for space launch.
Where do the academies take place?
My particular academy takes place at Cape Canaveral, on the Space Coast in Florida. We will visit Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, Patrick Space Force Base, and Kennedy Space Center. And we're based out of Cocoa Beach.
Okay.
This summer, June, July is normally when it's held. So we will see some of the tourist areas of Kennedy Space Center, but we'll also get to go behind the scenes at the Vehicle Assembly Building, the Cryo Lab, some of the other NASA facilities where they do their payload processing and such like that. So,
How do the cadets react to all this? You know, they've seen Star Wars or Star Trek or some movies about space, and there have been so many incredible movies and TV shows. How do they react to all this as far as, just how neat and cool it really is?
A majority of them are very excited. Maybe they've gotten to see a launch on television or maybe from the beach. It is very exciting for them to get up close and personal with the hardware that the United States is putting into space or is going to go to the moon or is going to go to, you know, a probe that's going to go to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be able to get up close and personal with the engineers, the safety professionals, the administrative professionals that are making this happen and get to pick their ears and, you know, what can I do that's going to put me on the trajectory to get where you are or what's going to help me get to where I want to be.
When you look at all the experiences that you've had in the Civil Air Patrol, both as a cadet, as a senior member, and now as a commander of a squadron, if you were talking to a school board about why the Civil Air Patrol is so important to our nation with the three components we talked about before, emergency services, cadet training, and aerospace education, what kinds of things would you say to a school board in terms of getting them to support more recruitment of cadets into the program?
I would say that it is going to produce a well-rounded young adult. The training and the experiences they receive in CAP aren't necessarily going to be like those that they're going to receive at a regular school. It is not necessarily recruiting strictly for the military. I've had a lot of some cadets, some former squadron members go to some academies or join the military. I've also had a lot that became pilots, became engineers, became police officers. So they go out into the community and the rest of the world and they give back in different ways. So it's not just about the military. You are going to give cadets that would not otherwise have these opportunities, the opportunity for career exposure, something that they haven't gotten at home or in the local community.
I was an Air Force ROTC at the University of Florida before I joined the Army Reserves for 6 years. But when I was an Air Force ROTC at the University of Florida, we visited Cape Canaveral. We went to the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville and the Air Force Base in Tampa. And we actually engaged and worked with cadets in the Civil Air Patrol. I know in your particular squadron, you had a cadet who became a colonel, and I believe there's someone who's on the verge of becoming a colonel. Is that correct?
Yes, we have two current cadet lieutenant colonels. One of them is at college. One of them is still active at the squadron.
Mm-hmm. And what's involved in achieving that rank as far as the work they need to do? And what role do you play as the squadron commander?
Oh, the cadets. The particular cadet does a lot of the work when it comes to getting spots. We can help them along the way. The two particular cadets I've known since they joined the cadet program right around or prior to COVID. But it is the spots achievement award is a accumulation of the entire cadet program. Everything they've learned about aerospace, everything they have learned about leadership, all the time and effort they have put into getting themselves physically fit to pass the SPOTS test, which is to the Air Force Academy standards, not necessarily Civil Air Patrol standards. And so you'll have the test on leadership, aerospace, physical fitness, and then there is an essay portion, and there are several prompts to choose from, and that is just about their, you know, different experiences they've learned from and their ability to write and articulate thoughts, which I see as one of the goals of the program in schooling. But so that is what's involved. Very rare achievement.
Sure. Absolutely. And you know, do you find that sometimes people don't realize that the Civil Air Patrol is actually an Air Force auxiliary program? How do you explain that to a parent or to a cadet or to anyone in terms of that it's all volunteer? I mean, you're, as the commander, it's all volunteer, you know, unless you're working at the Civil Air Patrol National Headquarters down in Alabama at Maxwell Air Force Base. But how do you explain that in terms of that it's actually an auxiliary of the United States Air Force?
I somehow managed to do it when talking to new members, but I think that is an evolving answer that I've come up with over the years. I definitely relate it somewhat to ROTC and what we'll be teaching, but again, it is all volunteer. There is not necessarily the commitment beyond your annual membership when you join.
Before I ask you the last question, what's the absolute neatest, coolest thing that you do as a commander of the squadron in Lake in the Hills? The
coolest thing I get to do or I do, it is either see cadets come out of their shell. I have had very quiet, shy cadets come in that would barely speak. And by the time they leave the program, very energetic, and they even admit it, you know, they've had a bit of social anxiety, and the program helped them overcome it. By far, the coolest thing I've gotten to do is be able to work with the cadets and the personnel for the academy in Florida. Some of them are just in awe when they get to walk into Blue Origin or United Launch Alliance or the VAB and see all that stuff.
Yeah, and I would certainly agree with that, having done all that myself. I want to thank you for taking your time, Captain Elizabeth Barkman, with the Lake in the Hills Composite Squadron down in Illinois. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
I would like to thank my two guests on today's program, which was a rebroadcast. In segment one, Colonel Rose Hunt, who is the National Executive Officer of the Civil Air Patrol, and as we talked about, it's an auxiliary of the United States Air Force. And in segment two, my guest was Captain Elizabeth Barkman, and she is commander of the Lake in the Hills Squadron in Illinois of the Civil Air Patrol. For Education Matters, here on WGTD-HD, I'm your host today, Steve Brown. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
Support comes from the Kenosha Community Foundation, a public charity dedicated to keeping local resources local by encouraging families to begin tax-advantaged giving, strengthening nonprofits, and improving lives. Visit KenoshaFoundation.org.
This year's Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues headliner is South African musician Jonathan Butler. Butler has been described as one of the 50 greatest guitarists of all time, and his music was said to have inspired Nelson Mandela during his time in prison. Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues is Saturday, August 17th at Kenosha's Lakefront. Tickets are available at MahoneFund.org or at Tanuda's Deli.
When the summer came, you were not around. Now the summer's gone.
Support for WGTD comes from the Racine Theater Guild, presenting Always a Bridesmaid, a comedy about four friends who are perpetual bridesmaids on a perpetual merry-go-round, March 28th through April 13th. Tickets at racinetheater.org.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show, I speak with Ronald Gruner, author of COVID Wars, America's Struggle Over Public Health and Personal Freedom. He takes a methodical and thoughtful look at what our country experienced during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in particular, looks at some of the ways in which we became an even more sharply and painfully divided nation, and how that had ramifications in terms of our response to this crisis. Monday's morning show begins just after 8. Support comes from the Choral Arts Society, presenting Say It With Music, Saturday evening, April 12th at First Presbyterian Church in Racine. Choral Arts will partner with Kurt Hanrahan and his band Opus to explore American music that has stood the test of time. Tickets at choralartsonline.org.
This is WGTD-HD.